Have you ever thought about your purpose in life? I'm sure you have. We often ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or we ask ourselves what our purpose in this world is. We try to make meaning out of our lives, and we think about how we might be remembered. In the passage we read today, we're charged with the task of loving one another. If God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. That seems like a really simple purpose to fulfill, yet we keep searching. We read self-help books, we do studies together like the previously popular Purpose-Driven Life, but how often do we actually find a definitive answer? The purpose we face every day is fluid. It changes, sometimes daily. Can we ever really expect to reach our goal? And what is the secret of success when finding our true purpose? Could it be as simple as love? When I was attending my graduation ceremony a couple of weeks ago, I was taken by this speaker. His name was John Helliwell. Dr. Helliwell is an economist who studies happiness. What a great thing to study. He focuses on the needs of humans to fulfill their purpose and how they might do that. And then his research looks at countries and societies who have been through tragedy and compares the resilience factors to others. Helliwell refers in his talks to 6 factors of living. The original ones were stated by Aristotle. So for you young people, Aristotle was a guy who lived a really long time ago, but he was pretty smart. The first 3 factors are income, healthy life expectancy, and opportunity, or how free you are to make a decision. The freedom to make a life decision might seem really simple to some of us. But is it really? We are often influenced by family and friends, society, religious affiliation, government, when making those decisions. How many of you have ever adopted a mannerism or a catchphrase of those that you spend a lot of time with? Sometimes it's a tagline in a movie, and you repeat it over and over and over because you think it's great. Sometimes it's sharing a laugh with your best friend, and you sort of become together like that. Maybe you dislike a food because a family member might be allergic to that food. Or you find yourself choosing a specific career because your family expects it or it's a family business. Maybe you played a sport or joined a club because your friends were in that club. It may not have been because you liked the sport. Maybe you married someone of the opposite gender because that's what it was expected of you. There are so many ways in which we are influenced when we make decisions. Yet God only requires that we love. So how do we make decisions that lead us to our purpose? And how do we do that successfully? Me, I just like to, put my right hand in, I put my right hand up, I put my right hand in, and I shake it all about. I do the hokey pokey and I wave my arms around. That's what it's all about. So I just made a decision to sing this song up here all by myself, but some of you helped. But I still feel a little silly. Feel a little out of place. Feeling a little alone. But doing the hokey pokey feels like it was the right thing for me to do. And that was hard to do alone and a little super scary, and I sing all the time. I wonder, though, if you would all help me sing. Let's try the left hand together. Ready? We put our left hand in, we put our left hand out, we put the left hand in, and we shake it all about. We do the hokey pokey, and we wave our arms around. That's what it's all about. I don't feel silly anymore. Thank you so much for supporting me in my song. I'm sure many of you are thinking, what on earth does the hokey pokey have to do with love and God and our purpose and place in life? Well, you just showed it. Support. You may not like the hokey pokey, but you sang it with me. And it looks like most of you were smiling. Are you feeling happy? The remaining three factors of Aristotle are living, factors of living are caring and being cared for, trust and trustworthiness, and giving to others. Hallowell goes into this deeper meaning of these factors, and I encourage you, if you're interested, to look him up on a TED Talk. It's excellent. But for today, I'm going to mash those three things together because all three of those things show love. The purpose that God has charged us with. We just demonstrated all three of these. I trusted you when I broke out in song all by myself up here in a silly song. You trusted me that when I did that I might have a point. I hope you did. Then you all cared for me by your willingness to sing with me so I wouldn't have to sing it alone. By caring for me, you were practicing a giving spirit, and I, in turn, offered a giving spirit by including you in my song, which made you smile. You didn't make fun of me, I hope. I didn't hear anyone chastising me. But we see that so often today. We see it out in public. We see it on social media. This last week, I was on holiday with the kids. And we're waiting for our Thousand Island cruise. And we're standing in line. And everyone was happy and chatting. And this youth walked by. And this youth had pigtails and a really bright dress and neon pink leggings and tall purple boots. And this person walked with confidence across the pier. But while they did, I watched as the people in line went, oh, and point. And all I could think was when this person walked past me was, wow, good for you for being who you are. That's just lovely. I don't like it, but I don't care. It doesn't matter what I like. But then I was really saddened by watching all of these people. But I thought to myself, that young person must have some great support. To walk with that confidence. Not all of us have that support. And I don't mean all support altogether, but maybe support in what we are allowed to wear, what we're accepted to wear. Maybe our families told us, oh, you can't wear that. That's silly. Perhaps those people scowling didn't have that experience in their lives. And so often we're told what not to do that we forget who we need to be. And so often we're busy focusing on what others shouldn't do that we forget to support them in who they need to be. You all supported me in my song. Before you joined in, I felt alone. Once you joined in, I felt safe. Your support did that. There's another piece of scripture I'd like to read for you from John 13, verse 34 and 35. We often sing it is a new commandment. Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize you are my disciples. When they see the love you have for each other. And I think in this church, our discipleship shows with our Christ lights. And that's how we develop that, is with our love. But again, you'll see this passage, God only asks us for one thing, and that's love. We say in our bedrock beliefs that God's love is unconditional. So to love like God means no conditions. This includes what someone wears, how they live their life, and who they are. This is support. Again, there are many rules in society and culture that we get tied up in. How should we parent? What career should we do? Where those facing homelessness might should live or shouldn't live? How to help those with mental illness? Who we can and cannot marry? What gender others are or we feel they should be? Some of these are really difficult topics, but I want you to think again about that purpose we have been given by God. Love. To love and be loved is to give support to others and be supported. God supports us in many ways. One of those ways is asking us to love and care for each other. You supported me with my singing, even if it felt silly. By supporting me and giving me the opportunity to express myself while feeling loved, you gained some happiness, and so did I. How many of you feel that you have support? We can't thrive without support. Even Jesus needed support. He had great support from his disciples and followers, and of course from God. The disciples helped Jesus to spread his message, but sometimes they challenged him because they didn't understand why he was teaching what he was teaching, or where he was teaching, or how he was teaching. Why are you telling the stories like this? Why do you talk in parables? Do you feel that those who support you fully understand you? Do you feel that those who support you agree with everything you do? I have two children who are members of the LGBTQ plus community, and I know many families who have members who identify with this community. And sometimes it's really hard. It may go against everything we've been taught as an acceptable way of being. Maybe we just don't understand. For my children, I've always tried to show them an open mind. I've always told them, as long as you are happy, that is all that matters. But when the first one came out, it was hard. The rules changed. I had to change house rules. I had to help other family members understand what was going on. And it was hard. And let me tell you, my support sometimes wavers, especially when I'm with someone who doesn't agree. When the second one came out, I was asked to change names and pronouns. The change was slow, but let me tell you, it's still difficult. When all of your ideas of who your child is or should be according to your values, hopes, and dreams change, it is hard. It's hard to understand when you don't share the same feelings inside. That person I saw walking on the dock was dressed in a way that others don't understand. I didn't understand it. So how can we support someone we don't understand? The first step is knowing that we don't need to understand in order to support. We just need to care about the other person's happiness. Here's a really good example. Manamana.
Do 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 do.
Manamana.
Do 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 do.
Manamana.
Do 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 do.
Manamana.
Manamana. Manamana.
That song is silly.
It's also very scary.
Yeah. It makes no sense, and it is very unlikely that you could repeat those solo parts. Yeah. We didn't sing the whole song together, but we each sang a part. And without each part, it wouldn't be a song. Manamana on his own. It's just nonsense. But when you add do 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 do, it makes the song and it supports those nonsense solos. This is a perfect example of how you support those you don't understand. You be there do 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 do. Jesus told many parables and stories about how others support others, each other. Sometimes he spoke about seeds growing. So some seeds fell on the rocks and they grew, but it was not a strong branch because they didn't have the support of the soil. And others grew in the fields and they had strong, prosperous, and you know, the crops grew beyond a measure. Then there was stories about how, think of the prodigal son. You know, the father supported that son even when he went off to do his own thing. He knew he had to do that. And when he came home, he was welcomed. That's support. There's even a story about how one sheep out of 100 was just as important as the other 99. And they left those 99 sheep to support that one sheep. So support is throughout the Bible. It's everywhere. I found so many that I couldn't even write them all down. So how does all of this make us happy and help us to have purpose? How many of you support others? I'm going to come down and I'm going to ask now, how do you support others? Heather, you put your hand up first. Number 10.
People that I'm trying to support. Oh. Whoa.
And how does it make you feel?
It was often like I want to do more, but it makes me feel happy that I'm able to be there. Even though I don't understand what they're going through, I'm able to support.
Thank you. I don't know if we're going to keep getting feedback, so I'll just stand back and... We can't seem to find our wireless mic, so it makes it a little difficult. But I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. when you support others, you gain something. It's why we serve. It's why we volunteer. It's why you help your mom with the dishes, because it makes you feel good. It's why, you know, you might help with some yard work around the house or some cleaning, and you go, gosh, that feels good. Or when you clean your room. I know I feel good when I clean my room. Doing for others is essential to our happiness. And it's what Helliwell kept going on about, was part of it, is doing for others with others. So all you meat pie people out there, I bet you feel pretty good when you've made those meat pies and put them in the freezer. And they sell, and people say, oh my gosh, those are the best meat pies I've ever eaten. That is how you support. And it is how you gain happiness. I like to support others by sharing my time and talent. I have been known to do tech support. I don't see any of my regular customers here today, but... but I have been known to do that. And I support by working with the AV in the back because I feel like I'm part of a community back there. I feel like I'm needed. I feel like I'm offering something to all of you by producing things, even when they go wrong. It feels good. And it fills me up. And it makes me happy. And in turn, I get to watch as we work with different volunteers and they learn a new skill and we see the light up in their eyes. And I'm sure anyone who's taught gets this feeling of when you see someone get it. And you just light up and it fills you with this deep joy. To support that with research, Helliwell spoke about a Toronto Star, and some of you might remember this because I remembered it. The Toronto Star did an experiment where they put 20 wallets all over Toronto, just dropped them on the sidewalks. And they had ID and $200 in them. How many of you feel that those wallets might be returned? Not a lot. So Stats Canada, the research on happiness, reports that those who have a negative outlook and lower levels of support are thought that very few wallets would be returned intact. And those who live with a positive outlook and everything is sunny, believe the innate good of people, believe the wallets would be returned. So how many of those wallets do you think were actually returned?
All of them.
There were 18 out of 20 wallets were returned.
Nice.
18 out of 20 in Toronto. Yeah.
I love that you said in Toronto. Like, yes. We're all like evil Toronto, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. All of them would be returned here.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Yeah.
You can tell I'm one of the sunny people, right? But research has shown that those who believe the wallets would be returned have a greater inside happiness because they believe in the good in the world. I imagine that the disciples had a high degree of happiness. I look at the painting of the Last Supper, and I feel like I'm not the only one who feels this way. There's supposed to be a picture up there. There we go. So I feel like I'm not the only one who feels like this. They're having a great dinner. They're happy. They're smiling. Even though they know it's Jesus' last day on earth, they're still having a good time. But they had that degree of happiness because they supported one another. They cared for one another. And they served together. Our coffee hours and church events are much like this picture. I think we could make our own Last Supper, just taking pictures of coffee hour. We share our time together, and we serve together. It's why we all keep coming back. I hope for all of you that we can continue doing the hokey pokey together, or being the doo 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 to each other's mana mana.